with the fadl and karamah of Allah, one such wazifa, one such deed or practice I have, that it fulfills all my small and big requirements. Even if it's a small requirement, that I'm coming and I'm looking for my socks, I found one sock and I'm looking for the other sock, and then I recite this wazifa, I recite this small practice, and I can find my socks, whether it's a pen or something, small things, in a rush, in a hurry, a person's in a rush, or he needs to find something, and person needs something done. So if I recite this, then I can find that pen. Or for example, if I'm looking for a verse in the Quran, I need a verse of the Quran, and I need it desperately, and then I'm looking for that verse, and I recite this wazifa, and then that verse of the Quran, it comes in front of me. So these small requirements, sometimes a person has something in his mind or needs to do something, etc., and a burden arises, and it seems as if it's a small requirement, but if I can't fulfill it on time, then a person gets a little bit upset or unhappy. For example, you're looking for a pad of paper, you need paper, and you'll quickly scuffle through everything or rummage through everything and look for something. I need to show somebody something, I need to write something, I need to show something on a piece of paper, and then I recite this wazifa, I recite this small amount of recitation, and everything is fulfilled. For example, in Ramadan, you've come with me, and I desire that I also tell you, what is this wazifa? What is also this small amount of recitation that it helps me, that alhamdulillah, if it assists me in small things, then can you imagine, does it not assist in the bigger things? Of course. So shall I tell you, what is that recitation? Little bit of a recitation, short amount. And the Quran has given us this solution. The Quran has given us this solution. It's not that I had recited, I'm not telling you some magic, etc. It's a solution, it's a prescription from the Quran. So inshallah, if we follow the prescription of the Quran and this recitation, that everything that we want done, which is jais, permissible, and we recite this, then it will be fulfilled and complete. What a great, great assistance. That wherever there's anything restricted, or there's a hurdle, a small hurdle, a big hurdle, I'll give you small examples of socks got lost, or a pen, or you can't find a verse in the Quran, or you want something. And obviously we get bigger problems than this in life, morning and evening. We have issues. So then this wazifa will assist in a lot of times and a lot of places in life. And people will suddenly recite this and all of the issues will be solved. Okay, let me explain to you what is this wazifa. And then you can practice this as well. Because alhamdulillah, for me, this is beneficial. Do you have a need for this? Or do all of your requirements get fulfilled automatically? So it's a great wazifa, great recitation. And this wazifa, Allah Ta'ala has told us in the Quran. Allah says, "Udu'uni astajib lakum." This is it. This short amount of recitation. Allah says, ask from me and I will give to you straight away. Subhanallah, Allahu Akbar. This is a dua. This is a request from Allah. Where have our duas gone, tell me? What a great point. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has unraveled a great solution for us in the Quran. But we don't understand. No, we don't want to go to Allah. No, no, no. We will try our best to do what we think is best. That can any matter of ours not be fulfilled if we recite this wazifa, this recitation that Allah, this solution Allah has given to us, but we make a niyyah beforehand. No, no, I want to do it from haram. Then it's difficult for us to get Allah's assistance and for things to be done correctly. That person gets Allah's help if first he's prepared. First we have to have trust. And if we don't have yaqeen, if we don't have trust and the hope that Allah will help, that such a great statement Allah Ta'ala has made, there's no doubt in this. There's not even 1% doubt in this. There's no restriction. There's nothing holding back. Allah Ta'ala said straight away, "Udu'uni astajib lakum." Just ask from me, Allah Ta'ala says. Call unto me and I shall respond to you. For example, somebody respects me and I leave the masjid and he says, Hazrat, I'm upset. I say, what's wrong? He said, I need some money. I said, okay, fine, come. I'll say to him, come, I'll give you some money. And when he comes with me, then will he ever doubt that I will not give to him? Because I have called myself. And he'll think, oh, Hazrat said, come, and he'll give. Isn't it? He'll come with me with total confidence. And when we get home, and he'll say to me, he said, I had a need. And I said, fine, I'll give you some money. So he will have total confidence and yaqeen, and he's coming with me with total trust. Imagine that I am saying this, that upon me saying he's trusting me and listening to me, and as I go, my niyyah could change, my intention could change, that I don't have, sorry, I just made a mistake, I can't give anything to you. And I could change my ways. Or for example, I take him home and I say to him, how much do you need? He says 1,000. And I say, I don't have 1,000, I only have £100. I can only give you £100 at this moment in time. I don't have that much what you're asking for. He'll say, okay, give me 100. I came to ask you for 1,000 though. And Allah Ta'ala is the Rabb of the universe. Allah says, Udu'uni, ask from me, call unto me. Oh, imagine. And there's no doubt our niyyah will not change and we cannot reject. And that person runs after Allah. Allah says, come, ask from me. But we don't even do this. Not to ask for 1,000, Allah will give 100. Allah says, ask me for 100 and I'll give you 1,000. Aha. Subhanallah. So we should cry on our broken destiny. Because look at our situation, our halat. Why? Because as I said to you before, previously, there is anyone else? Remember that event? Do you remember that event? That story? There is anyone else? That we turn to everyone else apart from Allah. So I say, Allah, I need a Mercedes. Okay, Allah Ta'ala says, fine, you need a Mercedes. Udu'uni, we're not doing the hobby. Allah says, have you asked for me? Allah says, I can give to you everything. I could say, Allah, I feel like having a Mercedes. I want this car. So who am I asking from? Allah, the giver. But no, I don't do that. What will I do? I won't go towards Allah. Because I don't know, will it Allah take a long time? Will he give? Won't he give? How long will it take? What do I have to do to get this Mercedes? So let me just fire the arrow on the bullseye. Let me take from somebody else, take somebody's money, take the government's money, and then I can buy a Mercedes. I think of these methods. Well, okay, I bought a Mercedes. Allah Ta'ala has given me the ability to do what I want now, isn't it? I didn't trust Allah. Oh, Allah will take too long. He'll give me a second-hand one. I won't get a new one. I don't know if I'm going to get one. Oh, what's the point of asking Allah for dua? Oh, let's go to the side. Let's take this person's money. Let's oppress this person. Oh, this person, my son saying, I want a car. He's getting married. He wants a Mercedes. Okay, let me get some money, fulfill his desires. Let's take the money from the government. Let's defraud. Have you got any money? Yes, I've got money. And he buys the Mercedes in the evening. And then he's bought a valley in Jahannam. In hellfire, and he's driving a Mercedes, but he's in Jahannam, in hellfire. Somebody needs a house, I need a house, shelter, we use the wrong means and earn money quickly. And we do the wrong actions, with the wrong conclusions, we make money, we bought the money's come to our hand, but Jahannam, hellfire. So this person's tawbah is not accepted. Allah says, why are you asking for tawbah? Why are you asking for repentance? That you're on Laylatul Qadr, your Ramadan, you will not be forgiven in these times. Why? Because Allah says, you have not broken my rights. You've taken the rights of the government, of the people in the government, of the people in the world. You've done fraud. You've cheated people. Either fulfill the haqq of those people that they forgive you. That's it. Very straightforward. That how many people raise their hands to the heavens, Allah forgive me, Allah forgive me. Allah says, why should I forgive you? Allah says, I've forgiven you maybe. Or I will forgive you after. But first go and ask that individual for forgiveness. If he forgives you, then I will forgive you. Allah has made a principle that this is one of the four principles of tawbah. Repentance. That before dying, Allah says, go ask that person for forgiveness who you've oppressed. Who you've broken his rights. I've seen to people who are so cautious that you know when you get a letter with a stamp on it, and you know the envelope, the stamp's on it, and normally the stamp has got the mark, isn't it, that it's being processed or it's got a stamp on it. But what do people do? Oh yeah, it hasn't been marked yet, so I can use this stamp again. And they use the stamp again. Imagine. They use that envelope again, that stamp again. It's haram. For 10 or 15 pence, a person's happy. Oh, look here, I've saved some money. I'm using this stamp again. But I've seen the cautious people who break or they tear that envelope or stamp that they don't want to fall into the trap of the nafs, that I don't want to consume the 10 pence of the leadership. So tell me, what will be the tawbah of that person? He's got real tawbah. Real tawbah. That don't eat anyone's haqq. Don't oppress anybody, don't commit fraud, don't cheat anyone, and you don't then need to ask that person for forgiveness. Oh, you've got the Mercedes, you've got the house, your business is flourishing, but what about the effects of this money? For example, you've recited the tasbih, you've done dhikr, so where are the consequences? In Jannah, in paradise, a tree is uprooted. A tree, you have a tree in paradise, you do good deeds, you get the good consequences. That don't forget that if you've done a bad deed, that you think it gets buried in the world. No, it has gone and it is growing in Jahannam. It's a reservation, just like in this world. Oh, I've booked my ticket, I've reserved my seat. Isn't it Hajj? You've done the Hajj, isn't it? Oh, reserve my seat and then you go on the journey. on the travel. And you sit with ease. So now, whatever deeds we're committing here, we are reserving seats in the after. If we do dhikr here, then we're reserving the seats in Jannah with the fadl of Allah. If we're praying, reciting Quran, reserving seats. If we're reading Quran, we're reserving the seats. And in the same way, if somebody does bad, then he's reserving the seats in Jahannam. In Halfa, he cannot be saved. He cannot be saved. So we can carry on, commit the sins, 4 days, 5 days, life is very short, it's not hard. Then the darkness of the night of the grave will come. We have to depart. We have to depart. And that money I've saved from here, the Mercedes, the cars, etc. Yes, definitely. Buy nice cars. That's your right. You've got desires. Make a palace. Buy a plane, buy a helicopter, eat, drink. No problem. But Allah says, ask me and do it correctly. And if you ask me, you'll get a better Mercedes. Opposed to committing cheating and fraud. And for example, if you have a Skoda, it will run like a Mercedes. With fadl of Allah, people's Mercedes will break down. But if Allah gives you a Skoda, it will run and drive better than a Mercedes, sometimes without petrol. Remember this point, because Allah Ta'ala has given this. It's from Allah. Barakah. Barakah blessings. Without petrol, Allah said, I gave to you. You don't need a petrol. My angels, they will take this car and make you arrive where you need to. You don't need Mercedes. Don't look at the petrol tank. One brother, I was with a Wali Vala going to Scotland. And the petrol was running out in the car. He said, Hazrat, the petrol's running out. He said, no, carry on. So one individual, he was with another person. He said, Hazrat, the petrol's running out. He said, don't worry, don't look at the fuel gauge, at the needle. If you're traveling with me, then what's the point of traveling together if you keep on worrying about the petrol? Have trust in Allah. Imagine the trust that person had with Allah. Because he was solid. He was very firm. He knew that Allah said, come, I will give you the money. And then Allah will give. Allah will give the fuel and the resources and the means. Don't we think Allah will give to us? This is not a small wazifa. We should build our trust and reliance in Allah. Build our itiqad, our reliance in Allah. In the hadith it is stated, subhanAllah, as soon as a person does dua and asks from Allah, then Allah fulfills that dua. Udu'uni yastajib lakum. We are requesting to Allah. Fitratan, naturally, this is according to the nature of man, that this, for example, hadith had not been read, and Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi said, there are three things beloved to me: the fragrance and salah and the permissible women who are married to him. In the hadith, and let's understand this hadith, that the women who had done nikah to the Prophet, his azwaj, his blessed wives. You know that we say, oh, the Prophet liked women. Don't think just the women were wandering around outside. Oh, it's sunnah, look at women and love women. There are men like this, the mankuha. The women who were wed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There were three things that were beloved to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam: fragrance, salah, and his wife. So we were speaking somewhere and there was a discussion, and with the fadl of Allah, and I wasn't even aware of this, and with the karmal of the mercy of Allah, that I like these three things. That fragrance, a lot of muhabbat, a lot of love with fragrance and itar and perfume. Always I try to put a nice perfume, I buy it, and this is my desire, and I like to do this. I feel like always there's a good smell, and the person who meets me, and the person who I meet, I should give a good fragrance to him, and the person I meet, he should have a good fragrance, and this is from Allah, this desire. This is a natural tendency. If a person doesn't have a natural tendency, then you can try and force him, that Allah Ta'ala's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam liked fragrance. Okay, today, the woman may think, okay, I don't want the onions and the garlic smell to come here, I put on a good fragrance, so my husband likes it, or if I'm going to masjid, I'll put a good fragrance, but put on such a nice perfume that others don't sneeze, not a strong off-putting, and others they put ether or fragrance, and then they force others, hey, have this, take some more perfume, and then put this on your body, and then I'll get a bit taken aback that I have just put a nice fragrance, a beautiful one on my body, where shall I put this fragrance, this person forcing on me, where shall I apply to my body, and they put so much from their bottle onto that person's hand, that person then needs to try to conceal it or wipe it on some hidden part of the body, or might start sneezing, or if it comes onto the clothes, then this got a very bad smell, until night this smell won't go. It's a bad smell, and it'll put other people off. You can buy these for 10 riyals or 10 pounds or maybe less. But the smell is not good. One brother said, oh, I've got a very nice gift for you. I don't use it myself, really. And he had a broken bottle, and inside that there was some fragrance. He said, oh, I had this 5 years ago. I went to Umrah and I bought this. Never used it. I thought, well, I'll give it to Hazrat. And then I took the fragrance as he was offering it. And I thought, what shall I do with this now? Where will I put this? How will I utilize it? So fragrance, perfume, yes, it should be nice. And you should feel good from having that perfume, and when you give it to other people to use, and when you give a gift to somebody else, at least you should know that, what perfume does this person like? What smell does this person like? So that when he puts it on, at least you should remember that person, alhamdulillah. For example, when he gives to you a perfume, that you remember him in a good way, or if you give perfume to that person, he remembers you in a good way, and you remember that person in your salah, in your worship, and you do dua for that person. So if, for example, if you bring a bride perfume, then brothers, please abstain from giving it to me, give it to somebody maybe who else nearby, but because I've already put on a nice perfume, let's distribute good fragrance, good smell to each other, what we like for ourselves. And so one is the Prophet ﷺ like fragrance, perfume. Secondly, salah, the merciful. And third were the permissible women. And a person loves his wife, and this person was listening. He said, I've got these two things, but I haven't got the third thing. They said, I haven't got love for my wife. When he heard me say these things, he said, I've got these two things. I said, okay, there's a solution. If you don't have love for your wife, and I said, he said, what? I said, dua, say subhanallah. Because this is something to ask for, isn't it? Isn't it? That this is something we should ask for all the time. That dua is invisible. That if you ask from Allah, Allah will give. From an invisible source except of Allah will give. Because Allah Ta'ala says that if, for example, somebody doesn't like you, or if your wife dislikes you, or your husband dislikes you, what injection is there that you can put in to that person that after you inject that person with this thought, positive can come about? So I said, dua, just pray. I said, don't you have yaqeen Allah? Allah says, come and ask from me and I will give to you whatever you ask. So is this not in the treasure chest of Allah? Love. That Allah Ta'ala says, the world exists due to love. First, Allah Ta'ala says, with me, and after me, Allah said, what came? Remember, in the universe. First of all was Allah, and after that, Allah Ta'ala said, the first effect that I created and distributed in the world was love. Muhabbat. And love came in the form of what? The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the reality of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Subhanallah. Who Allah Ta'ala loved. Remember this point. Remember this. So love is a great thing if we love each other, but it should be permissible love. Permissible. So this is very essential for us, and we should have this. He said, okay, I'll ask Allah. I'll just stop. I'll pray, finish praying salah, and I'll start asking Allah from today so I can fulfill the sunnah. When he heard me saying these 3 points, after 3-4 days I met him, that individual said, subhanAllah, amazing. He said, forget me loving my wife. My wife has started to love me so much. I'm telling you the truth, brothers. That in this Zakariya Masjid was this discussion that took place. I'm not telling you something that's made up. It's a reality of what's happened. In the recent past, he wasn't close to me. He had a link with another teacher, and he started to come after me. He said, Hazrat, is this a miracle? I said, no. This is a big karamat. Miracle that Allah gives the love. That Allah Ta'ala is accepting your dua. He said, Hazrat, you've done an amazing achievement. My wife, she's split from me for so long. And forget about the love of my wife coming into my heart. She started to love me. Subhanallah. Great effect. So Allah says, Udu'uni astajib lakum. Allah says, I am the one who gives. But if we don't ask Allah, and we run around and we steal and we commit theft and we fraud and cheat, we should say, Allah, every desire, I need this, I ask you direct for what I want. As soon as a person goes towards dua, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in hadith, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, straight away, immediately, you haven't even finished doing the dua, and 3 doors open up for you. Allah Ta'ala says, straight away, the first door opens, the first door of Allah's mercy, rahmah. Abwaba rahmah. That you do dua when a person asks Allah, and he's asking from Allah. No. Not asking from the ceiling, or the door, or some other thing. No, we don't know that we have to think, I'm asking from Allah, and Allah is going to give this to me. For example, you're asking someone for money, you think, I'm going to ask this person money, he's going to give me the money. We don't even know that what we should ask Allah for. We don't even know. We have no real understanding of how we should discuss with Allah, communicate with Allah when you are raising your hands after salah. What are you asking? I have to think that today, what shall I ask from Allah? I ask myself, I analyze myself, I reflect on my situation. You're the mad person like me. Don't become mad like me. But people who are mad, they do things like this. They dwell and they think and they ponder. And this wazifa, I've told you, a very good one. Because people who are mad, they have good solutions. Good wazifa. I've told you a good wazifa, isn't it? A good solution. A good recitation. That person who's jahil and maybe mad. So I'm a mad person like this, that I raise my hands first and I think, the what is it that you don't have today? What should you do today? What should you ask from Allah today? So I say, Allah, I feel like today having potato curry and meat and some halwa after that. I feel like this. So who should I ask from? Who do I ask from? Look, I tell you the truth. Straightforward, a person has desires today. I want halwa in the evening, and after breaking the fast, I want to eat these foods, or some mango juice, nice and cold. So who do we ask from? Who? That always, you can't ask for Jannah all the time. We have to ask for something from this dunya as well, isn't it? Some worldly requirements that we need to fulfill, isn't it? But we have to ask Allah from everything. So this is our deen. This is our deen. This is the friendship that we keep with Allah. Allah Ta'ala, today it's not the climate for mangoes at the moment. Can you please give some? Where did these mangoes come from? He said, oh, these are African mangoes that have come around today. They've been distributed. SubhanAllah. So brothers, that if Allah Ta'ala, if we ask from Allah, He will give us the food we want. So first thing, that what am I asking from Allah? What is it that Allah Ta'ala hasn't given to me that I need today? Why am I worried and upset? What is the issue that I'm thinking? Generally think I've got this issue, that this problem of mine is not being fulfilled. I need to fulfill this action. For example, my car is not started from yesterday. I'm in difficulty. I ain't got time. How can I go to the mechanic? Allah Ta'ala, please prepare something and do a fix and let the car start. It's a difficulty, isn't it? Then you'll just raise your hands, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً. Allah, I've got a need in the world. Allah say, okay, fine. So who should we get this from? What we need? What do we do? Then we try ourselves with our own attempts and wrong ways and solutions to get what we want. And then, for example, we use the haram means, we say wrong things, we do wrong actions, and we do actions that take us towards Jahannam. We don't have sabr. We don't have patience. I remember an event, very good event. Maybe I told you this before. Anyway, I'll tell you it again now. SubhanAllah. There was a great wali of Allah, Hazrat Hamad rahimahullah rahmatullah alayhi. It was his generation that he was living in. And he was a darwish, a wali of Allah. And he would have a gathering in the evening, just like we have this gathering. The darwish, they have a gathering in the evening after Maghrib, the majlis, the gathering starts. Our Hazrat, his gathering would be like this, and it would continue till Isha. People would come, and fakirs would sit after Asr. Sometimes they would present their words, and would ask their ta'weez or help or assistance, and the majlis is there, and then people come and ask for dua, then dhikr continues. So every day he had a majlis, a gathering, and he had a khanka in the bank of the city, on the edge of the city. I can't remember the city. It was a very old event. And there, he had some. There were some businessmen who would run their businesses, and one of the businessmen, he had a habit in the evening, would call his friends, come on, let's have a chit-chat, gossip, and get together, we'll drink and offer each other drink, you understand? So they would drink, you understand what I'm saying? They used to drink and offer each other drink, and he would feed people, there'd be feasts, and they would chit chat until the evening. Sometimes there would be a bit of singing, and then they'd call somebody to sing, and they would listen to her, and the gathering would continue till the morning, all night long. And he had a ghulam, a servant. This was the day and age of servants. And some once the food was a bit late in getting ready, cooked. So he said to his servant, it's taking time for the food to be ready, so I want my friends who have come, that as long as the food is not cooked, I want to keep them busy. So go and buy some dry fruit. Here, take this 4 riyal and go to the shop, buy some nice dried fruit, and we'll eat that. So as long as the food's not cooked, we'll eat the dried fruit just to keep us busy. So he took 4 riyals, the servant, and he went. He was a ghulam, he had to fulfill the order of his master. So he was going, and on the way there was a khanka, Hazrat khanka, and he saw that on the way. He stood there for a while and listened and said, let's see what's happening in the majlis, in the gathering. So Hazrat announced that there's a man here, he's in need, he's come and asked me for 4 riyals, and I don't have 4 riyals at the moment. And everyone was sitting in the gathering, and this servant was standing on the edge listening. He said, I don't have 4 riyals for this man in need. He's desperately in need. He's come to ask for me. This was, so please somebody, will somebody do a bargain, or will somebody do a transaction with me, a deal with me? And everyone sitting, all the fakirs. And the Hazrat said that the deal is, give me 4 riyals and I'll do 4 du'as for you. Ah, ha, ha, ha. Confidence, reliance, trust in Allah. Look at the confidence this wali of Allah had. He said, give me 4 riyals and take 4 du'as from me. So your du'as, inshallah, you can ask for what you want, and I will also achieve what I need. So nobody was answering, no one had, because they were all fakir, they didn't have the money possibly. Where did they have 4 riyals? So this servant, he was standing on the edge, he came forward. He said, oh, okay, let's see what happens after. Let me give 4 riyals and get 4 du'as. He said, Hazrat, I've got 4 riyals. Or dirhams, whatever was the currency. He said, I've got 4. Give me your 4 du'as. Then he said, okay, give me the 4 riyals. So then let's free the man who's in need. Hey, fakir, take your 4 riyals and spend the way you need to. He said, yes. Okay, fine. So now ask me, tell me, what are the 4 du'as you want me to ask Allah for? He said, then do the first du'a to Allah. The servant said, that when I go back to my master, that he's happy with me and he doesn't start to hit me or beat me. Say, SubhanAllah. SubhanAllah. It's straightforward, isn't it? He was honest, open-hearted. Straightforward, he didn't go into straight towards Jahannam or Jannah. This is the tariqah to ask from Allah. This is the method. This is how we should ask from Allah. Open your hearts and stay with the friends of Allah. And don't stay like beggars and be stingy and miserly. Have a link with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Have a friendship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Have a connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he said, is that it? He said, the second dua, he raised his hands. He said, the second request, is that look at the person who's asking, how much confidence he has, the servant. We go to the wali of Allah. And in our hearts, we have thousands of idols. We said we're going to get fares. We sit there with our mouths shut. Why are you sitting with your mouth closed and you don't know what you're saying? And 20, 30 years sometimes we spend in the wali of Allah's company. We have no yaqeen that there'll be fares that will come from the wali's company. But the person who has yaqeen, he will do the right thing. Will he have to say 10,000 times to that person? Or 50,000 times remind him that tell him to do this and practice correctly? And he'll know that I get fares from this gathering. He had yaqeen, the servant. So he asked for guarantee. Did he ask for guarantee? Oh, please write here and sign here that my du'as will be accepted. The four du'as, then I'll give you four riyals. First sign here, then I'll give you the money. But today, nowadays, people who come to get fares, they say, first sign here on the dotted line or right here. How will we get from Allah from this way? If I don't have yaqeen that I'm going to a pious person, a good person, Allah, get everything from here, from this company. Allah, your nearness. I want your nearness, Allah, your closeness. So I should know that if I've come to a good gathering, Allah will give to me that this person's going to introduce me to Allah. If we sat there like an owl and like a bird and the mouth is shut and we don't ask from Allah, oh, I'm the student of this sheikh, I'm a peer by this, is all drama. We have to come into the game. We have to practice correctly. And those who needed to take, they've taken. This majlis is not empty. Don't think that if we're here and we're not practicing properly and there's no one here who's earning. No, subhanAllah. Those who had to earn, they've earned and they've taken and nobody even realizes. And they clap, oh, next to Hazrat and I did this and I got this fares. This fares, the places of fares, this is where we learn fares and this is where we get the benefits from Allah. Remember this point. So he had yaqeen on the wali of Allah that his dua will be accepted. Imagine this. Imagine this, that if your yaqeen is strong, then you will attain everything complete. Our Naqshband, Hazrat Bahauddin Naqshband Rahmatullah Alayh. Hazrat Bahauddin Naqshband Rahmatullah Alayh, he said this statement. This is his first statement. That if you want to come into the Naqshbandi order and be attached as a student to a sheikh, then have itiqad and trust in your sheikh. Then you will get all of the benefits you need. And then doesn't matter, you won't think about other people and teachers and other mashayikh. But if you want to get the fares of a Naqshbandi sheikh, then you won't get that from any other sheikh. Remember this. Compare it. Compare, look at the sheikh you had before and the Naqshbandi sheikh, he gives that challenge that those people you had before as teachers, remember that time and then remember the time with this faqir. He said that what were you before and what are you now? What is the effect you've got of the company? That person, he is ungrateful who has a teacher, a Naqshbandi teacher, and then he keeps on talking about his previous teacher, etc. So they are bi-adab, they have no manners, they go to meet their sheikh. And they speak about other teachers. Allahu Akbar. Oh, Hazrat, he was this, and you know that sheikh, and this scholar, rahmatullah, and he did this action. And his sheikh is sitting there quietly listening to his student. He's come to me to attain fares from Allah, and he's telling me stories about other people. Then why don't you go there? No, no, Hazrat. Oh, no, no, please pay attention to me. Do dua for me, because you are everything for me. This is hypocrisy. This is hypocrisy. Two-faced. A person should be fanaful, Sheikh, I can just see you and I see no other benefit from any other teacher. If I remember anyone, I remember you and nobody else. That heart, that trust, that yaqeen, that's what we should have. That's when you succeed. So the first step is yaqeen. So when a person starts the journey, the love and the yaqeen with the shaykh, and then when we progress that yaqeen, then the yaqeen in Allah increases, and then the kamil yaqeen comes. So you had so much yaqeen in the wali of Allah, he said, my four riyals, if I give to him, and then he will do dua for me, and the question doesn't arise that the duas won't be accepted. He had this understanding. He knew he had yaqeen and belief and certainty. Otherwise, what would happen? You could go to the wali of Allah and ask for dua, and the duas won't be accepted because you don't have yaqeen. If a person asked to another person that you give ta'weez to other people, these people, their requests get fulfilled, but my requests don't get fulfilled. Yes, that's right, because they have yaqeen. And if you have yaqeen like them, then you will also get your duas accepted by Allah. So have yaqeen, just like they have belief in me, in the dua that I do to Allah. You should have belief. You say, oh, no, it's shirk. No, I can't do this. If I say this, this will be shirk. Or don't say this, this will be shirk. Oh, if you ask from him, oh, this Mawlana Sahib said, don't do this, don't bow like this, don't have adab like this. Fair enough, if you have doubts, just ask from Allah. Don't ask a pious person to do dua for you. You'll be shirk if you do this, and you'll do shirk with Allah. No, your yaqeen was weak, but he went. So let's go back to the event. He said, what's your second dua? The Shaykh said, he said, the second dua is that I've given you these four riyals, that please get the reward for this. So the person who's asking is not going into loss. He wants the reward from Allah. He said, okay, yeah, fine. He said, and the third request, he's sitting there, the servant, and look what he's asking. He had yaqeen in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and his malik is severe, and the guests are waiting, and he's doing a transaction, a deal with the sheikh, while they're waiting for the dry food. He said, the third dua, he's the third dua, he's my malik, he is my master, and I've stayed with him, and he feeds me, and he looks after me, and he is my malik. And do dua for him, that in the night he sits down and wastes time. May Allah give him aqal, these majlis, these gatherings in the night. Please let him cease and stop this, and make him, Allah make him do tawbah and repent and become a good person. And four riyals are his, they're not mine. I have to do dua for him. Look at his sincerity. Look at his integrity. If I start doing the tashri of this event, the whole Quran and Hadith explanation will come into this. So he said, okay, fine, here. This is a dua for my Malik, your master, that Allah give him hidayah. And he said, what's the third dua? So that was the second dua. The third dua, he said, I just want Allah, please forgive you and forgive me and this gathering and my Malik, and forgive everyone, all those people who are alcoholics with him, may Allah Ta'ala forgive them. And there is a big way of doing this dua. When you do dua for yourself, then do dua for the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah give me food, but Allah, you're giving me food, but at least the ummah of my Habib Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who's due to their sadqa, I'm sitting in front of you, and he had a lot of love for the ummah. That, for example, Allah, prepare for my, just like you prepare for my food and give my food, then give to these people, because you have to please Allah when you're asking from Allah, isn't it? You have to remember others who I need as well. Remember this point. So then, when he did this dua, he said, here, you've asked me for these three things, and now this is up to Allah whether He forgives. I'll do the dua, this fourth dua for you, that if Allah forgives the others, that's up to Allah. Allahu Akbar. He said, okay, fine. So then he had given the 4 riyals and he wasn't going to take the dry fruit. So he went back to his master and he's wondering, upset, distressed that the guests are there. And I said 15 minutes and half an hour has gone, 30 minutes. His master's waiting. And the master was waiting there. Where's he gone, the servant? You know that, therefore you go to Pakistan, if you have a servant and he does this action and everyone speaks rubbish to him. Oh, where do you go, you stupid man? I'm going to slap you and hit you. Why didn't you do what I told you to do? These are the masters of today who have servants. So he said, I've asked the du'as from Allah, see weapons, and he went back. And for example, the masters who have servants in our subcontinent, they will mistreat their servants. So he went back to his house and the master, his color changed. He said, what's happened? Where have you come late today? My guests are waiting. I told you to do something to buy. Where did you go? He said, oh, the du'a has been accepted. Allah has accepted the du'a. Because the strength came into him to explain. He said, oh, my master, that I went and you gave me that job, because you say Malik, my master, the situation was that I was going to get the fruit that you said, and this is what happened, that I went to Hazrat Hamad rahmatullah's gathering and I did a transaction, a deal. He said, what deal did you do? Tell me, what did you say to him? What happened? 4 riyals, where's it gone? What 4 du'as did you ask him to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So he said, the first du'a I asked him to say was that my Malik, may he be pleased with me. He said, did? Okay, go, I freed you. You are free from today. Ah, his dua was accepted. So he was so happy, the master, that he freed the servant. He said, what was your second dua? He said, the second dua I asked Allah is that the 4 riyals I've taken from you, may Allah Ta'ala put some response to that 4 riyals. He said, is that the dua? He said, go to my treasure chest and take as much money as you want. This is a sahih, true event. A great Shaykhul Hadith told me this event. I heard this from him in Karachi, a Shaykhul Hadith in Karachi. Great Shaykhul Hadith. Great Sheikh, and I'm not telling you some minor event, I heard this from him. Great Sheikhul Hadith, master, teacher, great rank, I won't tell you his name. So then, the third dua, he said, what's the third dua that you asked? He said that the ghulam said, okay, fine, this has now been accepted. The third dua, I'll tell him, what was the third dua? He said that, master, the third dua, ask him to ask from Allah that the things that you do, the bad actions, your sins, this is not good, ask him to do dua that you stop sinning. He said, inshallah, from today, your Malik will never commit these sins again. I do tawbah in front of Allah. From today, alcohol is haram on me, and the wrong actions are haram on me. Subhanallah. He said, what's the fourth thing you asked? He said, the fourth thing I said, Allah, forgive all of us and forgive my master and this person, that person. He said, oh, that's not in my control. I don't know if Allah Ta'ala forgives, but the dua you did, let's see if Allah Ta'ala accepts. And then he said, I've done all first three things. And he was sitting there, those people were busy in the gathering. He said, my friends, listen, this is today, is the last gathering we have, such a gathering. And I've realized today, up till today, we had a strong friendship. So for the sake of our friendship, I've changed my ways. And this is how people change. Aha. That I'm still thinking, I don't know what to do. This is not how to change the path. That Allah Ta'ala, when He changes people, suddenly they leave everything. Suddenly, when they do tawbah, that there's no fear and there's no doubt, and I've stopped these bad actions, and the left to the left and the right to the right. And he says, I've got no link with this sin anymore. So he said that, look, to his friends, that our friendship of old is finished. This gathering is finished from now on. Eating and drinking and be merry is finished. And if you want to stay as my friends, then like we were friends before, now I was like this before, I've left the old ways, and I'm going to be like this from now. And if you come this way, then our friendship will continue. They'll say, oh, my friend, Allah has accepted your dua. Isn't it? They're saying this in their in state of intoxication. They said that just like we were your friends before, we didn't leave you. So will we leave you in this sense as well? No, we swear by Allah that after today, we also, everything is haram for us. That is wrong. Everything also is unlawful for us. We also do tawbah like you. And they also became good people and good Muslims. So the fourth thing that was left then, isn't it? They went to sleep and Allah gave them the good news. The go, your ghulam, he asked the dua for you. I accept the fourth dua. You are forgiven. Your servant is forgiven. And that Hamad's gathering is forgiven. Hamad is also forgiven. And all of your alcoholic friends, they're all forgiven. Everyone's forgiven. Subhanallah. Imagine how long did it take? And we're thinking, oh, I don't have 1,000, I can only give you 100. Allah says, come to me, my doors are open. Allah says himself, Udu'uni astajib lakum, ask for me, call to me, I'll give to you. What a big wazifa, my friends. Before we earn from haram, before we go to haram, before decorating our homes with jahannam, everyone has a desire to have a good thing, to have nice things. But ask from Allah. Allah says, ask me, Udu'uni astajib lakum. I'm not saying this. Who is saying this to us? Our fast is telling us this. Ramadan, a big message, Ramadan, if it doesn't give to us and make us refresh our iman. It's reminding us of our wrongs. Allah Ta'ala says the whole Ramadan, I said to Ramadan, Ramadan saying, foolish people, I've given you a reminder the whole month. You've forgotten Allah, you're wretched today in the dunya. Cursed for this reason, that you don't ask from Allah. You stopped asking from your Lord, your Creator. You don't ask from Allah. You don't ask from your Lord. You ask for a son, you go to someone else. If you want to, you ask from doctors or magicians. And Allah says, without any foundation, I will give to you whatever you need. If Allah can create Hazrat Isa alayhi salam without the father, if Allah Ta'ala can create Hazrat Adam alayhi salam without the parents, then will Allah Ta'ala not accept our du'as? That you use the syringe and you inject with medicines and Allah Ta'ala can't give you a child without this? Why do you go to the wrong solutions if you want a son or a daughter? Ask from Allah. If you're not able to give birth, or Allah Ta'ala says if you're not able to conceive, ask from Allah. But you can only get when you have yaqeen from Allah that Allah will give. Allah will give. If we don't have yaqeen, certainty, then here a person loses. Oh, no, Allah Ta'ala said use the means. And it's for those people whose yaqeen is weak. No, Allah Ta'ala says those who use the means, Allah Ta'ala gives you the means. But this is the train of Allah Ta'ala. This is the public common train. This goes slowly, subhanAllah. But those who have yaqeen and certainty, then they bang on the door. They say, Allah says, here, money's come. The people come automatically to your door and say, here, money's come to you. This comes from the heavens. The means are there for those people who have weak iman, weak yaqeen. But for example, then if you use the means to get to Allah, then you use the wrong means as well. So we should strengthen our yaqeen with Allah, our certainty with Allah. We don't even need to use the means or intermediary. Or someone, do you understand what is asbab? Or you don't understand what I'm saying? Mawlana, this is a beautiful point, isn't it? This is a great point. Even I didn't know this. Subhanallah. That the asbab, even me, we use the means. Yes, definitely use the means and resources. This is sunnah. We said this, don't we? But today a beautiful point Allah Ta'ala has given, that this is for the weak people. Asbab, the train comes slowly to the platform, to the station. It will get there. You'll get there because you're asking from Allah, using the means, intermediary. But there could be a doubt here, or you could use the wrong means or the wrong methods or the wrong resources. So you have to be very careful and you'll go slowly to Allah. But you should make your yaqeen so strong that drop the means and go direct to your Rabb, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Udu'uni. Has Allah Ta'ala said that use the means? I give you the deal here. Has Allah said that call to me and then go to someone else and ask? No. Allah says, Udu'uni astajib lakum. Call unto me and take what you need. Subhanallah. So ask based on this platform of certainty. Haram will go, everything. Well, fast is teaching us this. That Allah Ta'ala says, do you know how to do it? From morning to evening, that from top to toe, I've explained to you, oh foolish people, this is the month to ask Allah. Is this not? This is what I've told you, is ask in this month. Allahu Akbar, Allah is so great. And to this extent, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has told us that maybe you won't understand. You are people who don't have understanding and maybe you will not understand. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, has told us direct eventually from this hadith. That I come back to it with this hadith that we're doing tashri. Allah Ta'ala's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told us directly that if you want to enter into Jannah, into paradise and be safe from hellfire, this is essential for you to do these two actions. In this whole Ramadan, Allah Ta'ala is saying that this is the asal way, that please Allah in this month of Ramadan, and do dua to Allah that He accepts and He gives to you what you need. And this is the asal. This is the way Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam not told us in the end. This hadith is telling us this. That this is the asal, that maybe you don't understand Ramadan, but I'm explaining to you the meaning of Ramadan. That in Ramadan you have to do two actions to please Allah. That please Allah in Ramadan and do dua. Learn to do dua to Allah in Ramadan. So these are the two actions you have to do in Jannah. Please Allah and learn how to do dua to Allah. And that is by doing the dhikr of Allah and doing tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Repenting to Allah. That Allah, I want to do tawbah for my sins, but I just want to carry on doing my sins. I'm not going to repent, and nor do I want to do dhikr. And without tawbah, there's no dhikr. Remember this, my friends. So to please Allah, if we want to please Allah, do two actions. Tawbah and dhikr of Allah. And Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has told us the method to do dua. That ask for Jannah and freedom from hellfire. Ask Allah for these things. This is not a small dua. This is not a small dua. Listen to me what I'm saying to you. Do you understand what I'm saying? That Jannah, we say we've got Jannah. First, Allah, that ask for Allah the dua to enter into Jannah. We say that Allah protect us from an-nar, the fire. This is not a small dua. This is a big dua. Because we're not asking for Allah to enter us into paradise. Tell me first. That Jannah, paradise, that you're asking from Allah in reality, you're asking Allah for the whole deen. The whole deen, I'll explain this to you. The whole deen you're asking from Allah. That Allah make me a person pray salah, and able to fast, and a hajji, and I can follow your ahkams, and your orders, and I can follow the sunnah of Rasulullah SAW, and make me an ashik of Rasulullah SAW. You're asking for all of these things, that without this, can anyone go into paradise? Without salah, can you go into Jannah? That if you leave one salah, the first Allah will ask you about your salah, Allah will... If you leave the salah, Allah says that you will be purified in hellfire. All of the impurities will be washed and then you'll go into paradise. So here we're asking Allah direct for paradise. This is such a big dua. That Allah make me such without a die that I become solid in salah. I become a solid haji. And I'm standing firm on my fast and follow the amal of the sunnah. And I'm a solid ashik of the Prophet ﷺ and I'm an ashik of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the way to ask for Jannah. And this is what we need to do. That individual who ask for Jannah from Allah, alhamdulillah, he's asking the whole deen from Allah, the whole deen. So shall I explain to you how to do this? We're saying, Allah, I'm asking for Jannah, 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 Jannah. Therefore, asking Allah for paradise until today, a foolish person can ever go into paradise who doesn't ask from Allah, person who doesn't pray salah, who doesn't follow the sunnah, who speaks nonsense, who does bid'at, innovatory actions, and affects people in a bad way, and oppresses. But we want a ticket, Allah, I've done all haram, but give me paradise anyway. Don't make this niyyah, that when you're asking for paradise, then use the methods that you have to get to that station, to that practice that will take us to Jannah. And Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has told us another great thing for the Ummah, that when you ask for paradise, then ask for Firdaus, the highest level of Jannah. Now do we understand that Jannah that you are asking for, Allah says, paradise, then ask for the whole deen, but ask for Firdaus. And Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that ask for Firdaus, because Firdaus is for the beloved people, those who are close to Allah. So ask Allah for wilayah, for friendship. And a beautiful point has come. Why do we say Firdaus? Why does Rasulullah said ask for Firdaus? That we will go into the highest level for rewards. In the dunya we are being told, because to attain Firdaus, to attain the highest level in paradise, you'll have to become the beloved of Allah. Mahbub Rabb. Mahbub, you'll have to become the beloved of the beloved of Allah. In other words, you'll have to become the beloved of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You'll have to oppose your nafs, your desires, not just pray salah, subhanAllah, then you'll have to have taqwa. Fear of Allah. You'll have to become a dervish, a pious person. And then it won't just be salah. Then in tahajjud, you'll have to make the feet swell. You'll have to stand in front of Allah. And then in prostration, your eyes will have to be moist and wet and cry to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You'll have to change your appearance. You'll have to change your character and your life and become a better person. And you'll have to assign yourself to Allah. And that's when we get firdaus. We say, I want to sin and get Jannah and everything top to bottom is wrong. And this is just a drama, a game. We're not sincere. If you go to a fakir, then the fakir will give you the right teaching. Have you ever heard this point before ever? Anywhere about Jannah? Mulana? Have you heard this before? Ever? You sat amongst good scholars and great scholars. Have you learned how to ask for Jannatul Firdaus and what's the method and what we attain? So those who ask for Firdaus from Allah and those whose du'as accepted, who are they? They are Ghaus and Qutb in this world. They are Ghaus and Qutb. First in this world, Allah Ta'ala elevates their status. Elevates their status. Allah prepares them here and they'll get direct. As soon as they close their eyes, they will get the journey in Firdaus. Say subhanAllah, may this do du'a that we are included amongst those people as well. Well, let's see this fact here and understand this. So today we realize how to get Firdaus. The Allah Ta'ala says, if you want to ask for Firdaus, we're asking Allah for Walayah to become His friends. Who from Allah? Ghawsiyat. Allah says, come and ask for me. Take from me. Allah says, it's not that you won't get it, Alhamdulillah, you will get whatever you want to ask from me. Ask for kingdom, leadership, country, whatever. Allah says, come to me, ask. Alam Malikul Mulk, you're asking from me. It's not Asif Faruqi who doesn't know how to ask from Allah. Oh, no, no, I haven't got 1,000 to give to you, I've only got 100. It's not me, it's Allah who will give. That Allah says, leave the stories and the drama of your life. Understand Ramadan, Ramadan's departing. He's told us two things, great solutions. He's told us the tariqah of how to do dua and how to do that dua, whatever to ask from Allah, how to ask from Allah. SubhanAllah. He's told us, hasn't it? Yes, so let's start from today. How to ask from Allah. Let's call to Allah directly and please Allah. And this is the way. So we have to call to Allah, direct for all our needs, and to please Allah, we have to do tawbah and do Allah Ta'ala's dhikr. That's it. That's the solution. So let's continue. So as long as we are living, keep asking from Allah. Keep asking from Allah. Keep asking from Allah. And do dua in such a way that Allah Ta'ala has given us needs and we have to fulfill the conditions. First do tawbah, leave the haram, leave sins, leave waste of time, actions and life. Allah says, this is all futile drama. Drama. Understand who you are, bow your heads, become humble and do tawakkal on Allah and rely on Allah and trust in Allah. Otherwise, double punishment. This person is deceiving others and himself in the world and he thinks he's going to deceive Allah. Otherwise, his aqeedah, if it was correct and he was asking correctly, that Allah give me firdaus, then he would have attained firdaus and he would have done the actions of firdaus as well. And he would have been correct and upright. So may Allah Ta'ala give me and all of you the tawfiq. That this is a very great opportunity. I'm weak, but I enjoyed today's discussion. I attained a lot of satisfaction that what Allah Ta'ala has given us a solution, and the fast has taught us a beautiful point. And reality, that so many things I learned today, so many lessons I didn't know, I swear, but Allah, that due to your barakah, you are pious people. When you come and sit down, you pious people, and I benefit. That's what Allah Ta'ala says, that go to the pious people, you are all walis of Allah, and I've come to your gathering. So I say that if you go to a pious people gathering, don't think I'm saying I'm a wali and come to my majlis. No, who said this? Allah Ta'ala says, go to the gathering of pious people. That means I've come to your gathering. You are good people with the fadl, grace of Allah. So when you sit with the gathering of the good people, walis of Allah, you've got barakah, you've got alims and mufti and qaris and hafid, you are pious people, good people. And this person has come and sat with you with the fadl of Allah. I've heard good things and learned good things. Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah. What great lessons we've learned today. And I start from today, inshallah, make a niyyah. And I used to do bad things before, and my socks were lost. Allah, oh, I need water, it's hot, give me cold water. That, remember, this is my Hazrat, my Shaykh, who gave me this tariqah. Once I was in Makkatul Mukarramah and I couldn't find water to have a bath. I think it was Umrah or Ramadan. I said, Hazrat, to my Shaykh, I don't have water to have a bath in his Duma today. Where shall I go to have a bath? The house that I'm staying, the tank is empty. There's no water. Then Hazrat said, why are you asking me? You've come to Allah's house and you're telling me the problem. Aren't you ashamed? Hazrat said this to me. Oh, what a solution. What a Shaykh. He looked at me strictly, that you've come to Allah's house. Oh, Subhanallah, you are asking me to do dua? Subhanallah. What a tariqah method to ask. I just went quiet. I went out from the back because the shoes had come out. And Hazrat came into jail. I said, oh, I don't want a bad. Because when Shaykh comes into jail, run to the back. And how dare anyone give an answer? Never challenge or answer. Just go out from the back quietly and take the slippers and go out. So I went to the back. And I thought, oh, if Hazrat says something more in anger, then something will be accepted. Allah says, I accept the dua of my wali. So I went to the back of the majlis. I understood the message Hazrat gave me. And I went straight to the Kaaba. It was afternoon and it was extreme heat. Extreme heat, and there was someone that went to Multazam. Just like Hazrat said, what did I ask? Allah said, oh, the only astajib, even if it's a minor small thing, who should we ask from? We read the hadith, but we don't ask Allah for small things. We were in severe distress at the time that there was water. I needed water at that time, and nothing in that world, if I had got to that time, I wasn't interested. I wanted water. I wanted to have a bath, get fresh. It's Jummah time. I wanted to be fresh so I can come to Jummah. So I said, Allah, I'm not asking for anything big. Allah, that I'm not asking from you. My Hazrat, he's asking from you. It's not me asking. So I knew how to do dua. That is my Shaykh, my teacher, who's sitting there, further back. But now what I've come to ask you, I'm asking you direct one thing that I need, Allah. There's no house and there's no water in the house where I'm staying. How will I have a bath? Then I did dua and I recited the Rushin and I went towards the house. And this event that's happened to me, I'm not telling you a story in a book and you'll say you're lying or it's not correct. I went to the house, I gave the bell and I heard everything. I heard the clanging of the pots and the pans and the buckets and the metal pots. You know when the noise, for example, you know in Pakistan or India when water stops and when the water comes, everyone starts to shout, water's come, get the vessels, the pots. And they said, you want to have a bath, quickly, the water's come, water's going to stop soon. All the taps are full and the pipes, the water's coming and we filled our pots and our pans and our buckets. I said, look, all of you fill the vessels and have your bath. I'll have a bath. They said, no, you're the guest. Have a bath. I said, don't worry, I'm a guest. This is the barakah Subhanallah. Rahman, they fill your pots and vessels. Don't worry about me. They said, bring the vessels, the pots, and all of the pans. I said, fill all of this. Fill it quickly. And all of the metal vessels. He said, no, the water's come. But, and it's going to stay. I said, no, it's come. Fill all of it. He said, they have a bath first. I said, no, you have a bath first. I knew what was going to happen afterwards. I knew. Because this is the dua of the darwish. Hazrat's tawajjuh, Hazrat's connection. I'm not saying this was my dua. I said this first. Allah, he, my sheikh, is asking. He sat back there. I've just come as the messenger. This is the yaqeen you should have in your sheikh. So then when I went, and the whole month I had to have a bath, and I didn't leave. I didn't leave as long as all the days, and I stayed there and had a bath, and I enjoyed myself because this wasn't some normal water. I knew this totally because I'd asked from Allah. So this pani, this water has come from Jannah. Allahu Akbar. Subhanallah. Allah Ta'ala, when He gives something, it doesn't come from the world. The resource Allah gives from somewhere else. The enjoyment is from else. I said, this is water from Jannah. Have a bath, otherwise afterwards you might not get an opportunity. This is water from Jannah. If Allah is fulfilling the dua, what a great city and the water from Jannah. So I was having a bath. It took a long time. And they were knocking, haven't you? Aren't you free yet? Juma's coming. I said, I'm free soon. I'm nearly finished. I had a bath, nice, opening. Took a long time. I wanted to benefit. And when I came out, it was fresh. And then every tap went dry. The water stopped flowing. They said, what's happening? I said, I don't know. But Allah says, Udu'uni astajib lakum, make friendship with me, attachment with me, with the friends of Allah, make friendship with them, have yaqeen and certainty. And then if you become Allah's, then stay with Allah, and then go back, and may Allah Ta'ala give me and all of you the tawfiq. Ameen.